Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'at-Hotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always very pleased to be able to come to you loud and in living color. Wow, there's so much going on, I can tell you. It is just unbelievable. But you are going to hear a very powerful program tonight. We certainly are very pleased to be able to provide you with it. Before we begin tonight's program, as usual, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator. And we are always certainly very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Okay, tonight again, before we give you some insight into what we're going to talk about, we want to remind you that please let people know, and certainly you keep in mind that if for whatever reason you have to miss a segment of our program, you can always catch our program by just going to the archives and going to the on-demand segment, and you will be able to access any and all of our programs at any given time. So again, just go to the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/Empress Chi, and you will be able to find any and all of our programming at your convenience, so that you will never have to miss a program. You will always be able to stay in tune and in touch. Let's see, tonight we are going to talk about several things. Of course, we're going to continue our dialogue in regard to the murder in Ferguson. Not only that, of course, we're going to talk about what we know as police and governmental terrorism, but also we're going to focus on human rights violations. There's a lot always said about civil rights, but interestingly enough, there's very little focus on human rights. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We are, in fact, going to look at the whole idea of human rights and then some. And we are fortunate enough to be able to talk with, again, some people who are directly on the ground there in Ferguson. That is going to include, of course, Brother Yah, but also we are going to talk with a sister who is a committee woman for that area, for the Democratic Party. We're going to talk with her. It's very interesting because we had the opportunity to hear and to see a interview that this sister had with none other than Mr. Hannity. Some of you may or may not be familiar with him. Sean Hannity, I believe, is his name. And he's a very arrogant, very pompous kind of individual. And so he had his sister on his program, who, again, is the one of the committee people in the area of Ferguson. Her name is Committeewoman Patricia Baines. And, you know, I'm going to hopefully be able to play it for you, or at least some of it, but we're going to have this sister on tonight. We want her to be able to express and convey, you know, her feelings about the interview, but also certainly about what's going on there in Ferguson, what has been going on, what is going on, and what is projected to go on in the very near future. I could tell you she handles herself very well with this Mr. Hannity person. You know, Fox News tends to have that kind of aura about them, as many of you are certainly aware. They tend to be extremely conservative, and that puts it mildly. But again, we're going to hear from the sister and get some insight into, again, how she felt about that particular interview. And, of course, again, more on what's going on presently in Ferguson. I'm going to also talk with Brother Yah, who has formulated a organization that is now called the Human Rights and Justice Committee. He has began organizing really nationwide and putting chapters in place all over the country. So we're going to talk more about that. We're going to also talk with our brother Mike Graves, who, of course, is one of the representatives from the 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement. Brother Mike is going to give us an update on some activity that took place today in New York, but also give us an overview of what he has observed in Ferguson during this past week, and of course from a perspective, a law enforcement person, from a black perspective. We're going to also talk with brother, our good brother from Atlanta, for the organization he's founded, represent, is called the FTP for the People. They do a lot of incredible work in the Atlanta, particularly in the Atlanta area, but he travels nationwide. He also was in Ferguson, I believe, last week, and he's going to give us his report, but also give us some insight on Black August. He does Black August activities every year, and this year he is connected with Sister Pam Africa, and they will be doing a special tribute tomorrow for our dear elders, Brother Herman Ferguson and Sister Aluwa Ferguson, of course, who were very close to Malcolm X, El Haj Malik El Shabazz. Again, there's a special tribute to them tomorrow. And so with that said, Brother Kalonji Changa will be joining us along with a special message from Sister Pam Africa. She will be joining us as well. Also joining us tonight is Dr. Randy Short. Okay, and you know Dr. Randy Short's going to bring it. He just recently completed, of course, a report on Press TV, so he'll give us some insight into that. And, wow, we just got a whole bunch going on for you tonight, family, and we certainly look forward to bringing you tonight's program because it is going to be extremely interesting and certainly informative and very, very, very productive and certainly progressive. So with that said, we are going to bring you, let's see, for right now we're going to get ready to go to our live line, and we're going to talk, I believe, with Sister Coker, who each week has been bringing us wonderful information, and we're going to go to our live line and bring us our story, her story, his story. Definitely the truth about us as a people. Let's go to our live line and have Sister Coker to give us our segment of our story for this week. Sister Coker, do we have you here?
Yes. And praise to you, Creator, for Black Talk and these two final Saturdays to feature our born in August. The first one is a relatively young woman, Shamik Holdsclaw, who was born August 9th, 1977, in Flushing, New York. She transformed professional women's basketball. She and only three other women were selected as a first team All North America. And she finished her college career earning 3,025 points playing basketball. Whitney Houston was also born in 1963 in Newark, New Jersey. She was a singer, model, and film actress. And, of course, we all know that she transitioned recently. I don't know the actual date. Anna Julia Hayward Cooper was born the 10th, 1858, in Raleigh, North Carolina, and departed February 27th, 1964 in Washington, D.C. She was an educator, writer, and activist known for supporting women's rights. Carl Thomas Rowan, you know him as Carl Rowan, is the 11th, Ravenscroft, Tennessee, a journalist and head of the United States Information Agency, USIA, appointed by President John Kennedy. It was the highest executive branch position held by a black man. Finally, Kathleen Battle is the 13th, 1948, born in Portsmouth, Ohio, an international soprano opera singer who won three Grammys and a Candace Award from the National Coalition of 100 Black Women. And as always, please call our children children, and we desperately need to teach our children safety now so they will learn what to do when their lives are threatened, which is almost every time they step out of their house, because we just can't have any more incidents, any more murders as we're experiencing right now. We have to teach the children what to do. Just like you teach children, a child how to cross the street, we need to teach them how to deal with people who are fronting them in any way whatsoever. These are things they must learn. Thank you so much.
And thank you, my sister. Again, as usual, wonderful information. And we certainly appreciate, you know, you taking the time to research and bring us, you know, information about our history, our story. So, again, we thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. All right, family, what we are going to do is get ready to bring in our first guest for our dialogue for tonight. But before we do, I want to share something with you. We're going to try to cue something up right for you in a few moments because we really want you to get a gist of what some of this conversation or some of this dialogue is going to be about when we talk with Sister Committee Woman Patricia Baines. And let's see if we can find the cue that we want. This is a recent interview that took place with, again, Sean Hannity, who, of course, is a very popular host on the Fox News channel. And so what we want to do is share with you a little bit of that interview, and then I think we might be ready to bring in the committee woman. And so give me a moment. Let's see if we can cue this up for you. Okay, I think we got it right there. All right, family, I want you to check this out. This is very interesting. Oh, having a little tech problem here. Let's try again. You know how technology can be, so let's see if we can. Here we are.
My next guest triggered controversy last night after claiming to NBC News that the unrest in Ferguson is not just about Michael Brown, but rather about police brutality, racial profiling, racism. Here to explain, Ferguson, Democratic committee woman, Patricia Baines is with us. Committee woman, were you there at the shooting?
Was I there at the shooting? I was not there at the shooting.
You're not there. So you don't know what this is about police brutality, do you?
Community.
But you don't know if it's police brutality in this case, do you?
the judge, jury, and executioner here?
We have to show police brutality. That was the part that there is, that it seems that they're often...
How do you know in this case there's police brutality when we haven't got all the facts yet? If you don't have the facts, how do you know?
Because we have so many instances of police brutality when it comes to law enforcement in our community.
You said this case. How do you know in this case?
Because there's no way that a young man who's unarmed should have two shots in his head and four in his body.
What if he was charging? If he was legally, let me educate you again. If he was charging at the police officer by law, that would be defined as justifiable use of force. You're aware of that, right, Committee Woman?
I am very much aware of that, but there is no way that an unarmed man should have two shots in his head and four in his body.
If he was charging at the officer, that means by definition he was only hit in the arm, and if he kept charging after being hit in the arm, the officer would still have the right to defend himself by law. Is that not true of him?
Well, the officer does have the right to defend himself, but two shots to the head, I think he's doing too much.
That is a logical person can agree to. But you're making claims. You should be a better leader for the community and wait till the facts come in. But I got to go. Ron Williams.
Wow. Very, very, very interesting to say the least. So, we are going to get ready to go to our live line. Let's see. I'm almost speechless, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know why I should be, but I almost am, and even though I'm still having a little case of laryngitis here, but I'm hoping you all can hear me relatively loudly and clearly. At any rate, I believe we are ready to bring in the committee woman, Patricia Baines. And with that said, I'm going to also allow you all to give comment or ask some questions as well. So let's do this. Let's open the mic. I think we might have the committee woman here with us. Let's see. Let's try again. Hold on. Okay. Do we have the committee woman on this line here?
This is Yah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great, great, great. Okay, because we wanted to bring her in about 10 minutes anyway. Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, very good, very good. I'm hoping we're going to have a good connection because you're starting to break up just a little bit. So we're going to bring on the committee woman very shortly. And
Atlanta?
Before we say again?
Are you speaking about Atlanta?
No. The committee woman that's there in Ferguson. Oh, is this Kalaji?
No, this is Brother Yakana.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Brother Yah, yeah. You know, the committee woman that's there, Patricia Baines, I believe her name is.
Oh, Patricia Bynes. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Bynes.
Okay.
Okay. My apologies. Good. I was pronouncing
Perfect.
It incorrectly. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, but before we do, what's going on? What's happening there? What has been happening there? And I know you've started the Human Rights and Justice Committee, but before you tell us a little bit about that, tell us about what's going on.
Well, you know, it's a little bit of the same thing, in my opinion. I was not at Ground Zero this evening, so I'll revert and let someone else discuss that. What's going on as of today, because I was not physically there today.
Okay.
But I will say this. We understand that there's been there's been at least 120 arrests made of those protesters. How many of them have been released? I don't know. I called in to Ferguson County Police Department for like the last 3-4 days. And I've been getting mixed messages from
mm-hmm.
them, and then they began quoting some sunshine law that they're not obligated to tell me anything, basically, if the person in custody is not revealing that information. So a lot of fragging and bull is what I'm getting. Then I was told to contact the Clayton Police Department, which is North County, at where most of the protesters were sent to, okay? And so I contacted them, and they referred me to forwarded my call to a Officer Garrett, Garrett, and the phone just rang and rang and rang. So I could not get any information on those that were locked up, but I used alternative means of gathering that information from everyone that has been locked up from the beginning of the protests. And specifically, I wanted to zero in on the ones that they locked up for failure to disperse, so to speak. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was very important. You know, we're talking about Eric Holder. You know, how the people have hope that Eric Holder will do what he needs to do. Eric Holder won't do what he needs to do. And in fact, Eric Holder needs to go back to Barbados where his family makes money off of late term abortions. Eric Holder, in my opinion, is a coward. He's too cowardly to uphold his job as an attorney general. And he is also responsible for hundreds of people, hundreds of people being murdered. And a lot of weapons were shipped from to Mexico, from the U.S., et cetera. In my opinion, Eric Holder is phony. And he has not talked to any of the young people or grassroots organizations nor protesters at Ground Zero at all. He has talked to the family, but he has not talked to any of the grassroots organizations, protesters, nor young people in Ferguson. You know, his wife also has a business partner that stole hundreds of thousands of dollars from America. And the people need to know that, you know, he had a fast and furious stint where, you know, again, I was talking about where he sent weapons to Mexico. And basically, he should be removed. Eric Holder should be removed from his present office. In my opinion, Eric Holder is no less than Black J. Edgar Hoover.
Wow. Okay. Well, that puts it pretty poignantly, if I may say. Okay. So with that said, tell us about the Human Rights and Justice Committee that you have formulated. Give us some insight into that.
Sure. The Human Rights and Justice Committee is an extension of SWIP Stop the Violence. For those that follow us on Facebook, you know exactly what we're talking about here. So the organization has been in existence for more than 7 years, 5 years legally documented, but we've been in the field for 17 years leading peaceful demonstrations in the East St. Louis metropolitan area. I'm speaking up and out against injustices. Again, injustice anywhere is our injustices everywhere. We believe that what affects one directly also affects all indirectly and vice versa. We led marches downtown St. Louis covering the Trayvon Martin piece. We did candlelight vigils and led additional marches in the East St. Louis metropolitan area. So we have been in existence for a while. The only thing that has changed is the name itself. The Human Rights and Justice Committee of Missouri. We are currently extending chapters. Right now we have about three states. We're working on all 50 states getting a chapter of our extension of the Human Rights and Justice Committee there. We are seeking to seek justice for all of those that have been unjustly treated throughout the history of our race of people. And we are also providing economic empowerment for our people and looking at human rights violations that the U.S. has imposed on our people in this colonial state of mind and this colonialized environment in which we are being subjected to. So we are looking to not only speak out against these injustices and these atrocities against blacks in America and the human race, as it relates to police brutality, lynchings, murders, executionary, genocidal and biases among our people by state law enforcement agencies and law enforcement in the U.S. and also in St. Louis, Missouri. So these are just some things that we're seeking, human rights. We're speaking out against racial inequalities and racial discriminations against our people. And we are willing and ready to take it on a state level, local level, and international level as well. So these are just a few things that we are looking to accomplish with our organization. And as of Monday morning, we are asking the nation to join us in solidarity as we embark upon what we believe will be the greatest monumental event in all human lifetime when we do this this boycott in solidarity with the Mike Brown family here in Ferguson, Missouri. That funeral will be held early that morning. I forget the time, but we are asking people on the East Coast to begin boycotting at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and Central Time, 7 o'clock a.m., boycotting major businesses and doing a buy-in, supporting your own community and doing a buy-in from blacks within the community or black business owners, et cetera, buying from your own people. So that's what we are requesting. Additionally, the Mike Brown funeral procession will take place on a Dr. Martin Luther King Drive in St. Louis, Missouri, and therefore we are requesting that all that have ear to hear and receive to also be in solidarity. If there is a Dr. Martin Luther King Drive or Dr. Martin Luther King Street in your respective cities or states, we're asking you to join us in solidarity as we protest, peacefully protest and assemble and boycott on this day. The boycott will not last one day. It will not last one week. It will last the rest of this year until justice is served on these culprits that executed Mike Brown, who had no prior convictions, no prior criminal records at all. And keep in mind, the video that we see is a propaganda. It was dated in June, I think June 6th, and it is no wise associated with Mike Brown, who was slaughtered and executed in the streets of Ferguson off of Canfield near West Florissant in Ferguson, Missouri. So with that, I yield my.
All right, my brother. Well, I want you to stay right there because I'd like to bring in Committee Woman Bay. I'm sorry, would you pronounce her last name for me again?
Patricia Bynes. I think it's
Bynes.
But
okay.
Patricia.
All right. I want to bring in Committee Woman Bynes. And I want her to join. We'd like for her to join this dialogue. Did you get a chance to hear any of the interview that I just played earlier with the committee woman? Okay.
No,
we
unfortunately,
might...
I did not, and I do apologize. I did not. I was actually on the phone with my mentor. You know who that is.
No,
so I was actually on the phone with my mentor. So I did not get a chance to listen to that. But I'm sure Patricia will share that with me, as she does have all my contact information, including my Facebook information. So she can share that with me when she's ready.
Okay, very good. What we'll do now is bring in the committee woman, and you stay right there. And I think we're going to be bringing in Dr. Randy very shortly as well. But right now, let's bring in the committee woman. Committee woman, are you there with us on this line?
Hello?
Okay, I guess it is not. All right, let us try another line. Hold on one moment. Okay, it doesn't seem like we have her on yet, so let
I'll send her a
text.
I'll send her a text message.
Okay,
right now.
Yeah, please do. No. Okay, yeah, please send her a text, and because we're waiting for her to call in. Okay, let's do this. Let us continue our dialogue, and I was hoping that we could get Dr. Randy Short in queue as well. I do believe he is in queue, but I'm not seeing him at the moment. Well, let's continue on, my brother, and let's do this.
Okay,
I think I do see Dr. Randy Short, so I'm going to try to bring him in right about now just to kind of give us an update on some things that's going on with him. Dr. Randy, do we have you on this line? Okay. Nope, we're not getting through. So we're
That's okay.
Try.
I've got some more to talk about now.
All right. We're trying to figure out what's going on with our boards. So, definitely. Did you get the email that I sent you about the group? There's another group, or it may be the same group, but it was an article indicating that there was a group, of course, who made some demands of some of the so-called leaders, civil rights leaders. I don't know if you're familiar with any of those persons, but what, again, is your response to, you know, what has been going on? Because from what I'm understanding, and when Brother Kalonji comes on, he's going to also talk about the fact that there were some other so-called leaders, not necessarily civil rights leaders, but some other leaders who supposedly came to Ferguson during the past week or so and was asked to, you know, put up or shut up.
Yeah, certainly there are a lot of people trying to capitalize on what's going on. You have a lot of, and you know me, I like to call a spade a spade. I like to speak on the truth, right? So you got a lot of phony religious leaders out there now who are implants, who have recently been out there and were not out there since day one or the week preceding. They've been out there the last several days or 2-3 days or what have you. One incident occurred while I was on the battlefield 2 days ago. Again, I was not out there today. I was out there the day before yesterday. That day and that night, of course, I didn't get home until about 12:02 early in the morning. And so you know, marching, you know, justice, you know, peace, you know, hands up, don't shoot, et cetera. And I'm explaining to the groups that we need to begin talking about human rights and how we demand our human rights now. Okay, and so one spiritual lady in this group, in this particular organization, she just kind of looked at me and she said something under her breath. I didn't catch what she said. And so anyway, I started demanding that the protesters begin saying, we demand our human rights now. We have all the media coverage down there that we need, and they need to know that we are serious about our position, and our position is human rights. And so so the brother with the bullhorn, he began chanting, you know, we want human rights now, human rights now, human rights now. And then the religious lady next to him in their group, she said, oh, you don't have to say that anymore. You don't have to keep saying that. And it just kind of took, I was taken aback because I'm like, why are we here? And then you got all these, you got all these other people there on the battlefield that shouldn't be there, opportunists, provocateurs. We've already been talking about them. I'm just confused as to how you can lock up hundreds of people and you still got the same face out there that's working hand-in-hand with the police, telling the police who to lock up. I'm just kind of confused how people are not really catching on to what's really going on here. And then, you know, you have rumors going on saying that everybody that was protesting has been locked up. Or I'm sorry, everybody that was protesting was locked up in jail and are all now released. Where are you getting that information from? I have no idea, because the media certainly has not mentioned that. We've not seen that on the battlefield at Ground Zero. So where are you getting your information from is unbeknownst to me. It's unbeknownst to me. I don't know where people are getting this information from. So I'm just kind of perplexed at all of this. But, you know, you have people here like still Al Sharpton. I'm told he's supposed to be officiating or preaching or the ceremonial aspect of it. Oh, my God, I want to talk to him so bad. I want to talk to him so bad. You have no idea how bad I want to talk to him. Now listen. Now, Don Lemon, you know, Don Lemon just – you know, lemons are sour, and when I think about Don Lemon, I just have a sour taste in my mouth, right? Like, I was there, when Don Lemon a few days ago, I think it was about three days ago, four at the most, where we were down there and the police were taunting the peaceful protesters about getting out of the street. We're already out of the street. They wanted us to get off the sidewalk where they instructed us to get on, and, you know, there's video footage. You all have seen it on CNN. I was the guy standing right next to him with the purple shirt on and the tie, okay? And so those that don't know, and then later on, I guess they edited it out because I was telling Don Lemon about himself right there on the air. I didn't appreciate how he was just ignoring what we were saying about what was going on. But anyway, he did cover something that no other media crew at the time has covered. Okay, and this was the taunting, the profiling, the riot inciting of the officers against the protesters. Okay, there was one particular old officer who'd been on the force for a while, I assume. Okay, yes. Music, got it. Is that my cue to shut up?
Yes, you're waiting to call in.
Okay,
we sent one. Okay, can you take the number now, please?
Are we still there?
Yes, go ahead. The committee woman has just called. We're making sure she gets the right number. So continue, brother.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Great. So let me real quick, and then I want to, wait for the committee woman. So I want to talk about Don Lemon, right? So
646.
So, Don Lemon.
All
right. If people can understand.
Thank you.
Why Don Lemon is into men, then he can also understand why police killing boys or men are also wrong. Just because he has a boyfriend don't mean he can't create or care enough about the community here in Ferguson. I don't like the way how they completely downplayed the Powell case, the brother with the disability who was murdered
mm-hmm.
by the police, allegedly having a knife in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, that to me, that's just inexcusable, okay? And on the other hand, you have an officer by the name of Page who's boasting about being a killer and how he wants to kill and how it's okay for the officers to keep killing, people and blacks in particular. I think if Don Lemon were as steadfast for Michael Brown, for his human rights, as he was about his homosexual lifestyle, we would have gotten fair and unbiased news coverage from CNN.
Hold that point right there, because I do believe we have the committee woman getting ready to join us right about now. Let me just check to make sure. I do think, we did have her. Hold on one moment. Let's see what's going on here. I know we had her in queue. Let us check something. Okay, yep. We do have her. So what we're going to do, I want you to stay right there. And
sure.
We are going to bring in, let me just check again. Looks like we're having a few technical difficulties. So hopefully it will pop back up. Wow.
8874 is the last four. 8874 is the last four of hers. You see it? You see her in the queue? 314 is the area code. 8874 is the last four.
Okay. Yeah, I just spoke with her, and she just said that she was going to be calling in right about now. So let's do this. Let's give her a few more minutes. And in the meantime, I think we have Brother Mike on our line as well. We're going to bring in Brother Mike and kind of get an update on some of the things that may have happened today, or not may have happened, that did happen today in his uh-huh. locale. And then we're going to give the committee woman just a few more minutes to call in. Let's bring in Brother Mike to join us on this dialogue. One of the things that Brother Mike and I talked about earlier this week is the fact that we believe that this is a dry run for, okay, I think I finally see her now. Brother Mike, stay right there. I want to bring the committee woman in now. And Brother Yah, you stay there as well, because I don't want to lose her. Okay, we
hello, can you hear me?
I do believe. Yes, committee woman, you're there?
Yes, hi. I was here earlier. You couldn't find me, so I hung up and called right back.
Okay, no problem. We got you now. Thank you for taking the time to join us, and welcome to our New Day Resurrection and Liberation Live broadcast.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We did play some of the interview with Mr. Sean Hannity, and certainly you handled yourself quite well, I may say.
Thank you.
So what do you feel about that interview?
Well, you know, when you get a call from Fox News producers, especially for Sean Hannity's show, you already need to know what you're going to walk into. So I was certainly prepped. But when they began my interview as, you know, making the statements, I was on Rachel Maddow the night before. And to hear that they thought that making statements that this case brought up, you know, racial tension, police brutality, to hear that was, quote, controversial for them, that is completely scary. That's the first thing that I had to laugh at. I'm like, that's a controversial topic? Like, these people are really just gone nuts. So I have watched, Sean Hannity's show. I know that he's, one, emotional. I know that he's a bully. I already know that he's going to talk over people. So I was expecting all of that. And let's face it, if you're in politics or if you have even some type of corporate job, there's a Sean Hannity almost in every workplace. Dealing with somebody like him is nothing new. I actually work in agriculture. So as a black woman working in agriculture, I'm surrounded by Sean Hannitys. So I certainly know how to handle my own. And I just thought that he was just ridiculous, spouting off nonsense about an eye socket fracture, which is already proven, you know, not to be true. I knew that I just needed to stick to my message, which was, no matter how you try to frame this, this was excessive force.
Yes.
So he can come up with all the rumors he wanted to and all this other stuff. I didn't even need to address that. My message was, we have to do something about the excessive force that's used, because right now it just seems like law enforcement uses black bodies as target practice in these streets, and that's got to stop.
Okay. All right. Ashe. So tell us a little bit about you. I know you are a committee woman for the Democratic Party. Tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and you know, how long you've been doing it.
Well, I was appointed in 2011, and I've been really active and involved in politics since, like, 2007. So started out volunteering, working on people's campaigns, door knocking, making telephone calls, handing out literature, and, of course, did that for President Obama's first presidency. But then after that, it's kind of like, okay, I kind of like this stuff. Let me get more involved at the local level. And that's when I realized that local elections matter way more than what's going on in the White House. The policies and the legislation that's made at the local level, that's what affects me every single day. So I just started getting more involved, and then I started out in the city of St. Louis, and once I learned, you know, politics in the city, I said I'm going to get more involved where I live, and that's out in St. Louis County, and just got involved, and then I was appointed, and then I ran my own, you know, campaign and got elected in 2012.
All right. And again, what are some of the roles and responsibilities of being a committee woman?
Well, a committee woman position, this is a volunteer position. There's no pay that comes along with this. It goes back to the old political structure when you had, like, a party boss and they would give out patronage jobs. Most of your committee people, since they were free positions, would get one of the patronage jobs. Well, that structure is completely changed now. But as a committee person, there's a committee man and a committee woman for every township. And your job is to be the face and the voice of the party, to get the party's message out, to help register voters, to help educate voters, and just to be a resource between the people on the ground and higher up elected officials.
Okay, very good. All right. Well, it sounds like you kind of know what you're doing and that you're doing it. Let's move on to, what is happening there now in Ferguson. What's going on presently?
Well, right now, I just kind of came in from off of the street. It was extremely hot earlier today. You know, there was some much larger organized rally by the NAACP. There was a lot of volunteering being done. Donations have been taken in to help people in the area who, have seriously been affected by what's going on. Either they can't leave their homes because the streets have been blocked, or the stores that they would frequent, were looted. So just getting food and supplies and water to some of those people, and school supplies, because school's supposed to start, I believe, on Monday. It's been pushed back for 2 weeks because of this. So just trying to do some of that stuff. But when I was out there, besides it being just extremely hot, people were still out there, and it was pretty peaceful.
Okay, wonderful. And so obviously the protesting, the demonstrating is going to continue. Is there still the presence of that high military representation?
No, there aren't any SWAT vehicles out. No one's in riot gear. But the police are still out and sprinkled throughout the crowd in their vehicles with and I know the National Guard, they left yesterday. So that military presence is gone.
Okay. All right. Well, from what we're hearing, of course, the funeral is scheduled to take place Monday morning. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I know that local news stations will be live streaming the funeral.
Okay. Very good. All right. We had Brother Yah earlier, who I believe is still with us, on one of our live lines. And what Brother Yah indicated was that there is a plan to start a national boycott beginning Monday morning. What are your feelings about that?
Well, a boycott of what?
Okay. Brother Yah, are you still there with us?
I am most certainly here. Patricia, I sent you information about a boycott that we were putting on, the Human Rights and Justice Committee of Missouri. I've questioned you or asked you if you were in solidarity with that boycott. I've been meeting with community leaders and forwarding that information on Facebook as well as emails. Have you not gotten it?
I haven't had a chance to look at my emails. What is being boycotted?
Well, I think you should certainly look at your email if you haven't, and I do understand that you've been pretty occupied with the movement and what have you, but I think that's really something that you should look at. The whole world is aware of what's going on, and it has been circulated through all the four corners of the world, including social media. So I think it will behoove you to take a few moments to look at that pertinent email and also...
Well, since we're, radio right now for the purpose of the show, could you just share with me what the boycott is?
Yeah, let's do that, Brother. Yeah, so that, because we need to, because there are also listeners, and I think, they too want to hear some specifics. So let's do that now. Please share with us what the boycott is about and what the projections are. And then we're going to bring in Dr. Randy Short, who I think is also going to be instrumental on the national level in implementing this boycott. But again, tell us a little bit about what the boycott is basically going to do, or what it is.
Certainly, not a problem at all. Thank you for this opportunity here. HRJC, Human Rights and Justice Committee of Missouri. This is the press release that has been going out. Most of you have probably seen it. If not, you will hear it firsthand. For immediate release, the Human Rights and Justice Committee says stop shopping. The Human Rights and Justice Committee, HRJC, calls for a national day of boycott against banks, businesses, and retail stores as an act of solidarity and remembrance of the family of Michael Brown Jr. and those of Eric Garner, Lavina Johnson, Trayvon Martin, John Crawford, Ezell Ford, and countless of other families that have had over 5,000 of their loved ones murdered by police, profiled, harassed, robbed, tortured, beaten, lynched, unlawfully arrested, and framed by law enforcement officials and courts all over America. From the annals of history, the only thing that the elite, racist, capital, rent, and profit-obsessed 1% understand is economic retaliation in the form of boycotts and sanctions. Therefore, we call upon all Americans who believe in human rights, freedom, equality, rule, just and fair laws, and that people are more important than corporate profit. Close your wallets, purses, checkbooks, and steal your charge cards until sanity returns to the state of Missouri and the United States. We will not tolerate police as trigger-happy death squads and many armies of occupation with tanks, rubber bullets, and Shun grenades. Our tax dollars paid for that and would have been better spent elsewhere. Therefore, HRJC calls for boycott for human rights, justice, peace, and jobs to commencing on August 25th, 2014, starting at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, and we will not stop until Michael Brown Jr. gets justice and we make human rights, dignity, justice, and freedom the norm for all people in America. We ask that all Americans stop banking with Bank of America and Wells Fargo. We urge all Americans to restrict purchases, especially from Walmart, RJ Reynolds, Altria Groups, Philip Morris, Kraft Foods, Macy's, Marriott, Seagram, Coca-Cola, Monsanto, Neiman Marcus, Comcast, Emerson Electric, Procter & Gamble, Pfizer, Microsoft, Cook or Koch Brothers, all fast food companies, and cease and desist from buying non-essential goods. We call for a year of boycotting. That means from now until the end of the year. We call for a year of boycotting of the whole state of Missouri, including the cities of St. Louis, Branson, Springfield, Kansas City, and Jefferson City. Please do not vacation, host, or participate in conventions in Missouri. HRJC urges everyone to make 10 calls, emails daily. President Obama, there's a phone number there. Speaker of the House, there's the phone numbers there. All that information can be found on our Facebook page at Human Rights JC, the letter JC, Human Rights JC, on our Facebook page. The congressmen, New York Stock Exchange, Fox News corporate offices, all of that's on here, all that information. It says we need to deprive those that would make us all slaves of the funds to do so. The Human Rights and Justice Committee, again, I already gave you that information. For more information, you can email us at hrjcommittee@gmail.com, 314-375-6574. So all of this information has been sent to the leaderheads in Missouri, all of the leaderheads that are attempting to affect positive change and claim that they are standing up for justice for Mike Brown and everyone else that has fallen victim to police brutality, as I mentioned above. And these elected officials being Jamila Nasheed, Jamala Rogers, and all of the other leaders in Missouri, including yourself, Patricia, I've made this information known to countless others all nationwide. So that's pretty much the gist of it. And again, in closing, I must say that we are seeking human rights and we are demanding human rights now, which should be the slogan and the chant in all of our chants that we're using from henceforward. And that's it.
Okay.
So now that everyone's aware, I guess my question is, do we also have your support?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a really tall order to boycott for the rest of the year.
It's not a tall order when they're murdering us every single day.
Correct.
It's not a tall
order. I'm just wondering, how does that focus in on the issue of police brutality and racism and police harassment? That would be my only question.
My question is, how does it not focus on all of that? And I'm sure the viewers and the listeners will pose their questions, and some may agree, some may disagree. But I'll leave that to the listening audience to answer, if you don't mind.
Okay, let's do this. Let's go to Dr. Randy Short. And before we do that, Brother Mike is still with us, so we're going to bring Brother Mike in. He's been holding on for a while. We have Brother Mike Graves with us, who, of course, is of the Freedom Party there in New York, but also a representative from the 100 Blacks in law enforcement. Brother Mike, what you got to say?
Hi, first of all, how you doing, Sister Empress?
I think
I've been listening and intently, and I see the wisdom of Brother. But I would just say that I understand what the sister is saying. I guess it's, the committee woman is asking for specificity, and even though he laid down a lot of various products, I'd say that to Brother Yah, I think you're right, but I would just say that that with that, sometimes our people need more specific directions. Let's say, like, if you were to say we're going to boycott Macy's, you know, Macy's has a history of following us around the store. They have a track record of doing targeting people based on race. And
but
so
we know this
if,
already, right, Mike? We know they do this already. So, I mean, so, it'll be a moot point at this present time to point out every single thing that these organizations have done, these capital corporations have done against us. I mean the layman knows this. I mean, it's in layman terms. We already understand this. We don't have to point out every single detail for every single organization. I think that would be
That's
a moot
true.
Point to argue.
No,
so, I mean,
I don't think it's argued. I don't think that it needs to be argued. I'm just saying that if we were to start off, but I, as I said, you know, the long list of products you said is worthwhile, and I respect the level of study you put into it, and I respect the fact that you really isolated things to target, you know, and I'm not, and all of it's doable, and I support, because we need the boycott. I was at a meeting today in New York at the Harlem State Office Building, you know, or should I say the propinator, Adam Clayton Powell Jr., Harlem State Office Building, and while there were various topics there, everything from gentrification, land removal, police brutality, economics. The thing that wasn't on the agenda was boycotting, but it was brought up by two people in the audience. And while it was listened to, they didn't cut the people off, I'm not so sure it was well received, because there seems to be those who were vying to be a part of the mainstream or already in the mainstream, they seem to dismiss boycotting because they know that it'll be frowned upon, and they know that there are certain forces that will disallow us. You have certain leading blacks who will have a problem with you boycotting, because that will disrupt their hustle, because their hustle is based on controlling the black masses. So if the black masses start thinking on their own and start doing these things, you're going to have fights within. There will be clear black organizations that will look at you as a pariah and treat you as such, and you will not have access to many media outlets. You will not have doors closed on you inside of the black community, and this is how they work. And because, and a reason I'm saying it, a simple thing like the Trayvon Martin senseless murder in Sanford, Florida, the people wanted to boycott. Reverend Sharpton, Reverend Jesse Jackson, and Vangelis all came out strong against a boycott, and Reverend Sharpton specifically was the one that reassured the business community there will be no boycotts in Sanford, Florida. So I think that certainly what you've laid out, Brother Yah, is well thought out. It's no doubt about it. I'm just saying that in all preparation in terms of targeting certain items or if you choose to target certain stores that carry those products, you also have to have a strategy in place on how you're going to circumvent these internal things and how to reach people, whether you're going to have to reach the church community, whether you're going to have to reach the conscious community, nationalist, pan-Africanist, integrationalist. There's a whole host, and I'm not trying to discourage you at all because I'm with it. If you say these are the things we're going to do, I'm with it. And I'll try to do it here in New York. But I'm just saying that, you know, we have to always have a strategy ready for the Trojan horses because they are armed and ready, and they will sick people on you, and funny things will start happening to you as a result of that. And so I'm just saying more power to you, more power to the righteous cause that we're all standing for. You know, I'm with it. In no way am I trying to dispirit you. I'm just saying that oftentimes, whether it's with elected officials, you're not going to get an amen or an ashe for
boycott. I want you both to stay right there because I don't want to lose Dr. Randy Short. So let me just bring him in, and then we're going to come back to both of you. Hold on. Okay, Dr. Randy Short, we got you.
Yes.
Are you there? Okay, very good.
Yeah. I'm hearing what everyone's saying, and in solidarity with this young brother and all the other young people that have stood up in Ferguson and given our people some hope for the first time in decades, I think they've done quite well. Without all the other people that this brother says that they need the support of, and in fact, they've all rushed in to try to shut these young people down who did this spontaneously. And in reality, frankly, I don't give two damns about the established black people. In fact, I almost hate them. They've had the position and the authority and power for decades to do something and haven't done a goddamn thing. We've had thousands of our people pile up every day somebody gets murdered, not to mention the people that get murdered in jail, not to mention 80,000 people die a year due to insufficient medical care based on race. We've had hundreds of thousands of people die, and I care about them. Let me say something to you. It's one thing to give them wisdom, but the traitors and the blacknecks and the folks who are slaves to one of the two parties or one of the corporations, they will see us all dead as long as their families do okay. That's what we deal with, greed, cynicism, self-hatred. It could be dressed up nicely that they've done something good, but at the end of the day, we're still dying, and our future is far from certain. The factories aren't coming back. The farmland they've taken from my ancestors isn't going to be handed back. The police now have machine guns, tanks, helicopters, and jets. It's not going to get any easier. So even if, given the economy of this country, boycotts would be more effective now than any other time in our history because we all know, anyone with any good sense, that commercial real estate is close to collapsing. Even if a few people boycott, we don't care about the traitors or the sellouts. We're always going to have them. But we shouldn't discourage young folks who have initiative and incentive. And there are people in other cities that want to work with this brother, and they're talking about this all over New York. It's being pushed by the United African Movement. It's being pushed by Chairman Fred and his group. There are folks in L.A. There are people all over the country who are ready to move. If you saw the video where this man denounced Jesse Jackson and thousands of people have applauded it, and Al Sharpton, no one necessarily follows these people who are working for their own benefit. Why should I care about them? And there will always be. The nature of struggle means traitors from within and enemies from without. But I'll tell you something. What these people did in 2 weeks, without organizations, without money, without Jews or whoever else backs them up, has gotten more attention on what our situation is than all these other people put together.
True.
Have you mentioned Ben Jealous to me? Has anybody, I'm going to just put this out there, why did Ben Jealous suddenly step down from the head of the NAACP? He just signed to renew a contract. Ask yourself why someone just leaves. And why is only Sharpton left standing? Why did Assata Shakur? And why do FBI records attest to the fact that Al Sharpton helped set this sister up for murder and he's the number one leader? I don't care if black folks are stupid enough to figure out that we're at war. And actually, we can't save everybody. We're not going to save everybody. So a whole lot of black folks are going to die because common sense and thought and using their minds seems to be an abstraction. Boycotting is the most intelligent thing that we could do. Get those young folks from out of the direction of machine guns and tanks. It's an opportunity to teach people about community, from buying from one another, supporting one another, even in small ways. If we could get people away from McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's and these other places that are essentially poisoning our young people and poisoning the other folks that eat the food, if we could get people to daily have some sort of struggle, it's worthwhile. So I don't have any problems with this, brother. I support it 100%, and I know other people across the country who can find ways to put their money in black banks or in credit unions. Bank of America and Wells Fargo have stolen billions of dollars from black folks with these subprime loans. Why, that's the least we could do is tell them to go to hell by taking our money out of their banks. So, and Al Sharpton is a paper tiger. Al Sharpton has to pay people off to keep folks to talk about his personal life. He'd sink like a stone if people knew who he was. Jesse has nothing he can say. The NAACP that took $14 million worth of bribes to be silent about Bush stealing the election in Florida, they have no moral authority, not the national NAACP. Not the national NAACP that knows that the government is mass-killing women with Depo-Provera. These people have no moral authority, and nor do some of these nigger preachers out here who are getting Homeland Security money to betray us, the same way Jewish rabbis in Germany and Hitler Europe sold out Jews to save themselves. We need to be real. And I don't care about one party or the other. I mean, at the end of the day, we've had thousands of people killed with Obama as a black president, if that means anything. And we had thousands killed under Bush before and thousands killed under Clinton before. What difference does it make? When this young man says human rights and self-determination, all the hypocrites, I don't know who's making all the noise out there, but it ain't me.
Okay, let me do this.
Phone check, phone respect.
Okay, I'm going to try to mute out someone here. Let's see. Let's try this.
Someone's just making noise and distortion.
Okay,
so,
I think we got it.
No,
go ahead.
That's what I was saying, Sister Empress, that the everybody boasts about Martin Luther King, and they boast about Gandhi, and this young brother brought up something that Gandhi and Martin Luther King did, and there's some scuttlebutt back. What difference does it make if it's only partially successful? It shows that our young people have a vision to struggle for human rights and take up the cause of their generation. So we should support them. They've been nonviolent, and they've proven themselves better than a whole lot of generations between 65 and now. So, you know, and Al Sharpton is a charlatan who lives in Trump Towers. And Jesse, I mean, What do we say? How can a man who takes Martin Luther King's blood and finger paints on a shirt and claims to be our leader, why do we put up with such garbage decade after decade? I don't hate Jesse. I know his family. I like the kids. A couple of them are nice people. But that doesn't allow someone to be our leaders for life. It's outrageous. We need democratic processes within our own group where we pick our leaders, not some political party dominated by racist Jews and racist Catholics. That's a Democratic Party. And racist WASPs and racist Jews in the Republican Party. We need our own. If we start off small, so be it. Better to have a lot of something than nothing of nothing. And right now, we have nothing. If a black president can golf and be out on the beach while people are being shot down with rubber bullets and Ferguson, and we call that progress, any Negro that says that is out of their mind. They're psychotic. I don't care what sex. I don't care how much community work they've done. It's outrageous. If Eisenhower produced something in 1957 in Little Rock, Arkansas, Obama should have done this the first day. In fact, he should be holding Mrs. Brown and Mr. Brown's hand until Monday. That's what our 40 or 20 or whatever, 35 or 20-some-odd million votes that we've given this man in two elections. How dare these people even say anything whether we boycott or not? It's our democratic right. And all those black folks who you see fighting the young people, they're all on either Jew fair, homosexual fair, Democratic Party fair, or Republican Party fair. None of them represent a true, true liberated black community or communal force that wants to see an end of the nightmare of police terror, harassment, and abuse, and Anglo-American Nazism that oppresses us every day of our lives. And I don't care about derivative criminality caused by structural and systemic white supremacy. The greatest crime is that we're not free, that all the wealth in this country was made by us and we don't have less than 1% of it. And for someone to tell me someone took a cigar and they shot in the head, that same logic, everybody on Wall Street should have a bullet in their head. Everybody in every bank and every white tax fraud across this country with their money in the Cayman Islands needs a bullet in their head if someone's going to rationalize what happened to that boy. Okay. So we need to stop thinking the way that these people want us to think and support our young people. Stop cursing and downing our young people. When we see them walking upright, when we see them saying no more killing and they're showing themselves to be righteous, we should be proud. It's the self-hatred and venal greed and certain black elites that bring them out to question. They got so many questions. If they're given marching orders by their white party bosses, they do exactly what they're told. We only get questioning and all of that when black folks say something. We're going to do something. Ooh, what are white people going to think? Oh, my God. I'm ready to hang up.
All right. We, of course, have been hearing from Dr. Randy Short live, all the way live, as usual. And so what we're going to do now, family, is give you all the opportunity to also respond. But before we do, we want to go back to the committee woman. And I'm sure you have some responses for us. So by all means, feel free to share.
Right, yeah. Well, certainly the conversation has been most interesting. I just think that people want it. It helps when people get a direct link for the cause when they're boycotting. So the example that somebody brought up, you know, if you're targeting Macy's for doing racial profiling, people can understand that direct link. And so for issues dealing with police brutality, racial profiling, police harassment, in order. Most people need to feel like whatever the action is that they take is directly linked to those actions. And I just, my only question was, I'm not sure that everybody's going to be able to make the connection between boycotting all these large corporations and police brutality, racial profiling, and harassment. And when they can't make that direct link, people tend not to participate, or they don't understand what they're participating in, and it's just not as effective. So I would think that maybe I think it's, you know, good to do something. I would just think that it would probably be best if it were more directly linked to those topics. So whether it's asking your local legislators to start passing, you know, things like having police wear cameras on their person, or asking them once they buy dash cams to actually install them. Those are actions, I think, that directly link to this cause. Asking police departments to take a look at the processes that they use to investigate police officer shootings. I think that's worth asking the question. Having people start showing up to their city council meetings or their county council meetings, those are direct things that I think can be done to work on those issues. So, you know, that would be all that I would suggest.
Okay, okay. And they are certainly very good suggestions. And I think as things develop, my sister, I'm sure, and as more people begin to support and bring in their expertise, I'm sure that, you know, additional clarity and so forth can be and will be provided. For example, we know that Koch companies, the Koch brothers, or Koch as they're sometimes called, they have many companies, affiliates, and so forth. Now, what we do know is they are highly financing a lot of types of things that are very much connected to things like stand your ground and so forth and so on. So, you know, so again, I think as things develop, we will be able to literally point out that there's some distinct connections to some of these companies. In regard to their support for certain types of police or laws or police operations and things of that nature. Also, some of these companies that help supply weapons or make weapons and things of that nature.
Exactly.
So, again, you know, it's a matter of connecting the dots now and people who have information, that have expertise, bring some of that in because we really do need to see some action. The 60s, you know, did do some things, and certainly boycotting played a major role. We need to see that today. And so with that said, we have to now, you know, activate whatever it is that we can. So let's go to some more callers because I think this is a dynamite dialogue on our board to lit up. We're waiting for Sister Pam Africa to also call in and Brother Kalonji. But in the meantime, we're going to go to a couple of callers. And let's see. Caller, you are at, hold on one moment. Let's try caller at 8474. We're going to open up your mic, caller. You're at 8474. Your mic is open.
Yes, I am, Sister Philae. I've been on for the
long
years.
I didn't know that was you.
Yeah, the brother's phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, and Kalonji might be on the line as well.
Okay,
you know,
well,
I know
these numbers because, see, our boards are lit up, so I needed, you know, correct numbers. But anyway, we got you now. But before we come to you, because I want to make sure we get you in, I'm going to check to see if I see Kalonji in queue. What we want to do is just take one more caller. Caller, you're at 3782. We're going to open up your mic. Do you have a question or comment in regard to our topic for tonight? 3782,
yes,
your mic is open.
Yes, I do. Excellent, excellent show, and I've loved everything that everybody said. The only thing I want to add to it, which you brought it up in time, that people see the connection, and that's what people don't see. You might see one name out there, but they have a lot of subsidiaries that do a lot of other things. Like you said, they might be part of the ones who are helping to build weapons and guns and so forth and so on. But the other thing that I think people should look at is how many of these corporate entities actually have investments in stock in the prison industry. So therefore, as you support them, okay, as you support them, you also support your own oppression.
All right.
And I yield the floor.
Excellent, sister. Excellent. Thank you so much. We're going to take one more caller, and then we're going to wrap up this segment and go into our special message from Sister Pam Africa. I still don't see Brother Kalonji. I'm going to text him and kind of make sure he has the right number. We're going to take one more call, and then we're going to bring in Sister Pam. Caller, you're at 4381. We're going to open up your mic. Do you have a question or comment? Or something you'd like to share with us tonight?
Yes. Thank you for allowing me to ask questions here. Some of us have determined and asked the young people what did they need, and we started a campaign to send in some gear that would protect them. And I, I think, like you, I said this when it first hit, I said this is what's called a testing ground. They want to see what the people will do. should this kind of thing happen. And so what I would like for Brother Mike to talk about a little bit so that we can get a pretty good idea of equipment that would protect them somewhat, such as the tear gas types of masks, as well as earplugs. You got earplugs on the way, man, about 200 of them. You also have a mask or two coming, Brother Yah. So we're starting a campaign, and we may as well try to help people the best we can, those of us who cannot be there. So what kind of supplies they will need, because they're going to continue to do this, and when it dies out a little bit, it's going to be the same thing as it hit different cities. And so, if Brother Mike, if you could talk about that a little bit, that would be really great. And then my question is this. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm going to check on it a little bit further, but I understand there's some kind of, or it's been rumored, there's some kind of law about boycotting. If people boycott, then they will be, it's illegal in some kind of way. So what I'm wondering is, should we be boycotting? And if we do, let's do it in a different way called sanctions. We're doing sanctions because, yeah, I don't want to come and picking you up talking about you're starting a boycott and you're in jail. Now we got to figure out how to get you out of jail. So I don't know if this is actual law or not on the books, but I do know in that international trade type stuff, they did tell the international law. They put some law out where these people that didn't want to use all of this garbage, genetically modified food in Europe, that they were going to fine them because they were losing money because they were not accepted. So I do know that's a fact. But I don't know about this boycott piece, which is why I wonder if that's not why these other people have not been calling boycotts, because I'm definitely down for it. I say Black History Month. We ought to just say everybody during Black History Month, don't buy anything but essentials. And that's just like minimum food. Most of us eat too much anyway. Minimum food and gas to get to work. Call it a day.
All right.
You're here then. So could you talk a little about protective clothing?
Okay. What we want to do is we're going to have Sister Pam Africa to come in. And what I'll do is I'm sure Brother Michael stay with us and Brother Yah is still with us as well. We're going to bring Sister Pam in because I know she's had a really full day and they're getting ready to do something in the morning. We want to make sure we get that information out for you tonight. And then we're going to come right back to you. Committee Woman, are you able to stay with us for a few more minutes?
I am not. I'm actually going to go out here, put on my tennis shoes, and hit the streets again to check on things. I kind of came back in the house and to take the call, but I definitely want to get back out on the street.
All right.
I appreciate you guys having me on. I really appreciate it.
Very good. And hopefully you'll, you know, come back on, give us an update, and we'll go further into this boycott issue, and hopefully you'll be, you know, able to provide some, if not direct support, at least, you know, something that will help lend to its success.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a blessed one.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let's go back to Sister Pam Africa. I'm still not seeing Brother Kalanji, but Sister Pam certainly has all the information that we need about what's happening tomorrow, which is going to be a tribute to two of our great elders, Baba Herman Ferguson and Sister Alula Ferguson. There's something going on tomorrow morning, and so we're going to bring Sister Pam Africa back in and have her to tell you about what's going on. Sister Pam, we got you here.
Yeah, on the move.
All right.
I'm from New York, UAM.
Say it again?
Today.
Yep.
I said, is that Brother Mike from UAM?
Yes, that is Brother Mike. In fact, I'm going to open up his mic as well so you can greet him and he can greet you too. Yep, we got him. Go ahead, Sister Pam.
Okay. You know, myself and Automatics and the attorney at War Automatics and Sister Karima and Brother some other people were supposed to be going to Atlanta because, you know, we've been pushing the issue with Brother Jamil Allen. and you know, and how he needs support, and you know, and Excel a whole lot. What is that noise, Sister Valerie?
I'm trying to check now. Hold on one.
Like somebody rustling papers or something?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to. Okay, go ahead. That should be better now. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Anyway, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to go there and then come back up and see the Fergusons. And because the health of both of them isn't well, and Brother Herman Ferguson, and, you know, he's like in hospice care now at home, and but he's able, like, to get around. One thing, Phil, we decided to just go ahead down and visit the Fergusons and all, because we like to check on them and, you know, see what it is that we can do. And they're in Apex, North Carolina. So on the way down, I'm talking with Sister Ailua Ferguson, and she says, you know, Pam, you think maybe we can hook up a speaking event on Sunday? Well, this is Friday afternoon, the 22nd, then it's the 23rd today, then it's the 24th. So when an elder asks, and especially in the predicament that they're in, and, you know, our job is to make it happen, because mm-hmm. she has something that she wants to say to people. So when she said that, we went to work right on it. She called... Brother, you have the flyer, Sister, to play with you? Can you pull it up?
Not right at the moment.
And if you'd be able to pull that up while we're on the, you know, on the phone. And but she's in Raleigh, North Carolina, and she wanted a speaking engagement in Durham. So we started doing the work to do just that. We got in contact with, I can't think of the brother's name from the store in Durham, North Carolina, but he immediately said that he would, you know, hook up the spot for her. And then I called Brother Kalonji in Atlanta, and Brother Kalonji said, Sister Pam, you know, whatever we need to do. And also she hooked up the flyer, and I called Sister Filet. She hooked up this show for tonight, and we called Brother T.C. from North Carolina, Brother T.C. Muhammad from the Nation of Islam. So we all been working to get the word out that Sister Ailua Ferguson called for a meeting on Sunday, and because she has something she want to say. So all those who are in close, you know, around the area, and are, mm-hmm. Or know people, you know, in the area of Durham. What was that?
This is Kalonji. Go ahead, Pam.
Oh, okay. What an entrance. And so, you know, we, you know, we're definitely pulling it together.
Coming up. Did you press one? Okay. All right. Go ahead, sister, continue. I was trying to get Kalonji in.
We could hear you. So I was being quiet.
Okay.
I've been giving him directions. I didn't want to try to talk over you.
Okay.
So, you know, this is something that's very urgent. And we were out with Brother Herman Ferguson, and, you know, and his health really, really isn't good at all. And so, you know, we want to honor what it is that you're saying. People are good for going to memorial services. I've been to a few, you know, in the last month. And somebody called you ahead of time, and they have paid the dues that they have paid. And I'm really asking, you know, people to email. Sister Filet has the flyer as well, and she's been sending it out. And for people to please come to Raleigh, Durham. I mean, to North Carolina in Durham. And here's the other thing, from 11 in the morning till 2. You know, when we came down, our position, we was leaving Sunday morning and all to get back. But she asked us, could we stay over and, you know, do the program? And we are. And, you know, so when you least expect it, you're selected. and the revolution is doing it or it's not being done. We got to pay homage. We got to do, and all, you know, what is asked of us. So, you know, that's the thing that I'm asking, you know, people to, you know, to do. And Momi is participating in it. Brother Jaruba Ben-Wahab, who's on his way out the country, would be there. And Brother Kalangi, he's just like, you just tell him what to do, and, you know, he do it, and he goes 10 times past that, and all, because he have connections and things, and he know exactly what to do. Brother T.C., Sister Filet, and our Brother Mike said he was going to call in tomorrow, and, you know, to the Fergusons as well, I think that's what he said, and to pay homage to him, you know.
Hold that point. Yes. We got Brother Kalangi, so give me 1 minute. We're going to bring Brother Kalangi in, and then we're going to also bring Brother Mike in a few moments as well. Okay, we got Brother Kalangi on our line. Peace, my brother.
Hey, peace. What's happening? I was on hold all this time. They must have wanted to hear me talk to y'all.
Because you wasn't coming up on the boards.
Hey, I want to say something real quick, real quick. I remember 10 years ago, 2004, Mumia's 50th, Chairman Fred, Sister Pam, Sister Filet, we was all, Sister Pam was hosting the TV show down in Delaware.
And
I remember I was on the stage, and I was so intimidated. Then when she asked me a question, I froze. I was like, damn, I'm here with Pam Africa, Sister Belay, and Chairman Fred all together for one joint. So I froze, like, you know what I'm saying, like a deer in the headlights. And I always remember that because I remember Sister Pam looked at me like, this boy must be off.
But you know what? I've had those moments. I had those moments, you know, as well, too. And when I first started doing, you know, speaking out, doing the radio shows, and, it, you know, it was like, you know, I couldn't do it at first. And, you know, but once, all I needed was that first word to get out. Once that first word got out, I was going with it. But prior to that, leading up to it, I would, you know, I would really sometimes have to go to the bathroom before I could actually do the radio show, and because that's how nervous and, you know, things that I was, and but you know, you're telling a story of what is going on, and you know, this electronic stuff, you know, isn't supposed to be, and it is intimidating, and you know, once I got past, you know, that, and know, it was good, but you know, I mean, you were free sometimes.
Hey, But you were saying that this was Mumia's TV show, and we're in Delaware, and I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? So I was kind of like, I think that was the first time I met y'all, and I was like still on the Movement fan club. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, man, what am I doing here? So you asked me a question. I'm like, I don't even understand why I'm even sitting up here. So I was like, humna. So, you know, it feels good to be on it with y'all now and to you know, to be fighting as hard as we possibly could, you know, against these wicked bastards, you know. And I'm honored to have the opportunity to be amongst the fighters, for lack of better words. You know what I mean?
Well,
so,
brother, we are indeed happy to have you. Now, before we go to talking more about tomorrow, because we don't want to run out of time, tell us a little bit about you, Brother Kalangi, and what you do with the FTP.
Yeah, basically I'm the founder and national coordinator of the FTP movement. FTP stands for whatever it is you need it to stand for: fight the power, free the prisoners, formulate the plan, and you know what it is with the police, you know what I mean? So we mean that with a passion. We are people's organization. We consider ourselves the new servants of the people, more or less, and you know, we are just, you know, we grateful to fight, grateful to be amongst, like I said, amongst the fighters. Myself, I'm a father, a grandfather, So, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm a brother that's fighting for the love of the people. So that's what it's about. you know, all that, the Bibles and all that. See me in the streets and we'll talk about it then.
And let us not forget you're an author, even though you still haven't sent me my book yet.
You just punched me all upside the head. Yeah, I'm an author. I haven't
got mine.
Huh?
I haven't got mine either.
Oh, man, I'm sure. I'm going to try to get to North Carolina to set you straight tomorrow. But I'm an author of a book called How to Build a People's Army. And building a people's army is basically a lot of what I realized coming up in movement and struggle is there wasn't any manuals. And you have, like, in these days of technology, you have so many folks that just think that they can just throw on an outfit and throw their fist up and they down. You know, no rules, no accountability, any of that type of stuff. But it deals with everything from building strong family to building structure, protocol and all that type of stuff. It has more to do with structure and accountability than it does with fighting or any of that type of stuff. You know, so it's just basic rules that I learned from OGs like you all, you know, that help keep me in pocket. You know what I mean? So that's what it's about.
All right. So let's go back to what's going to be happening tomorrow. Let's take a look at that. What time and where's the location and you know, what do you want people to do to support?
The last to answer where and stuff, because he had the flyer done up.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay, cool. So basically tomorrow the event is going to be a commemoration of our elders, our OGs, as Pam mentioned, Ialua and Baba Herman Ferguson. It's going to take place tomorrow at 902 Old Fayetteville Street in Durham, North Carolina, at a spot called the New Community Development Center. The venue is ran by our good brother Cimarron from the Marcus Garvey Society. And he's a young warrior that I knew before the internet. You know what I'm saying? He's back from my area in Connecticut, but he's a strong, very humble brother that does more work than he does talking, you know what I mean? So, he opened up his doors to his facility. He put together the flyer. I just reached out to him and called him because of the fact that Mama Pam said, look, we're going to be out here. We want to pull this thing off in 48 hours or less. And we in this movement, and we should be able to do that. So I called him because of the fact that I know he's consistent. And he's persistent, so he opened up his doors, he put together the flyer and everything, and he's going to have some good folks out there. And what it is, it's a commemoration, and we don't often get time. We often don't have the opportunity to give each other our just due while we are alive. Baba Herman is like 93 years old, going on 94, I believe. And
wow.
The fact that he's not a household name, I mean, he's a comrade of El-Haj, Malisha Baz, Malcolm X. He was an OG who really, Mutulu Shakur grit his teeth, working with it. You know, him and Mama Ialua. You know, so the thing is, the fact that we still have legends and dinosaurs, for lack of better words, in our midst, I think it's a very honorable thing that someone like Pam Africa and Brother Razakhan decided to put together. So I salute them because of the fact that, that's something that's supposed to have been done. And the fact that, you know, they had the audacity to say, we coming all the way down from Philadelphia, and on the last day before we about to hit this road, we're going to commemorate this piece. I think that they should definitely be saluted because, as many folks out here, they should have all types of awards and accolades and all that type of stuff. Baba Herman, for folks that don't know, he's a brother who, when you talk about Malcolm X, when he started the, when he left the Nation of Islam, that's one of the main brothers that was with him that stood by his side, you know, and it helped him to build, the other two organizations that that came after that. So definitely, hats off to y'all for even making it happen. And I'm going to definitely try my best to get out there tomorrow. But if not, I definitely call in and show my support.
Okay. Now, where can people call in? I mean, what's the call-in information?
Are you talking about calling the show or calling the program tomorrow?
Well, wherever you're saying you want people to call.
No, that was Mother Raza kind of put that out, because the program's from 11 to 2, and there's a few people, about 7 people that's going to be calling in, and, you know, that's it. So, you know, they have that number, because if you put the number out, that's all we're going to be doing, and we got a program. You know, she has something because she called with me, and, we're making it happen, so she has something she want to say.
We're having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, she wants. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. She wants to hear the information about Jamil Al-Amin. She wants to know what's happening, you know, with MOVE and its 30-year anniversary coming up since they dropped the bomb. She wants to know what's going on there. She wants to know what's going on with Mumia. She wants to know a lot of things, and she also has something very important that she has to say. So again, she called this meeting and wants people, you know, who could come. What we're going to do, we're going to video it, and so that it can be available to people, and also people just get in contact with Sister Soleil, who wanted, you know, the program. If you can't make it, and Brother Herman and Sister Ayua. And you to hear what it is that they're saying. And real quick on what's happening in Ferguson and what's happening up in New York. And I've been up to New York and to the UAM and took money because Brother the UAM and using names, Austin Maddox, had put a call out to help raise the money of the Brother Ort. If I'm pronouncing his last name right, he's under $75,000 bail. And I don't know whether Mike talked about it earlier, but, you know, you're definitely trying to raise that money because he's the brother who filmed the murder of the brother up in New York who was choked before everyone. That rally that they had today should have been one of some action as well, because what these cops are saying to us, you know, you film it, we want to lock your ass up, because they can't do it legally. They can't just take your camera and lock you up, but they want to instill enough fear if I film it and people know it, then this is what they're going to do to me. It is our job, because we want these things to happen, because if that brother didn't film it, he would just be another brother who was killed by the cops, and not a damn thing happened. But he filmed it, and I love Automatics. I love the UAM, because, you know, they see a problem, and they get involved in that problem. And I'm saying, I was there the day of the Marcus Garvey Parade. I went there first and then went to the office to take a donation to help get that brother out of jail. So I'm saying, you know, maybe we, if Austin can't get on here, Brother Mike or somebody, talk some, you know, more about that. And then as far as what's happening up in Ferguson, that's real strange because we're with the Fergusons, but I'm talking about what's happening in Ferguson. If people Google the 1978 confrontation between the police and the MOVE organization, you will see, you know, and Rizzo bragging about, they are equipped for war. And I'm telling you, this was in 1978. We made these bastards freak out and show everything that they had then. And he was saying, we equipped. We can go to Cuba, invade Cuba if we wanted to. Well, the punks didn't do that, and they didn't stop us. In 1985, they dropped a bomb. Killed 11 men, women, and children, but they never stopped this movement. They showed, you know, what they have. And in the Philadelphia Magazine last year, they talked about the military, how they came in and helped, you know, organize that attack on our home in 1985. I'm saying that to say very seriously, what was shown out there in Ferguson is what they got everywhere. And stuff, you know, one of the things that we must demand and is that we have a meeting with these people and to deal with the issues of what they have. They have some kind of stuff that they throw that, you know, messes your inside up. Kalonji can tell you some more about that. And but we must demand from these, you know, legal officials, I'm going to step into people, and I'm going on the radios while they're there. I'm coming to Black Brother Fred, do take the mic, and I got something that I want to say. And we have got to have a meeting about that, because if we don't, it's going to be here. And the sister who said we got to get equipment to, if they throw that kind of tear gas and stuff, what we need... had collected monies. I know in Philadelphia there's a lawsuit where they hooked up this rule where they can go and take the drug people's money and take their homes, their houses, and a lot of people they set up, took their stuff, and there was no drugs involved. But that money is turned over to the police. And I'm saying this money needs to be used for people to have tear gas, I mean, you know, those masses and the things that we need. And, you know, we got to learn how to, in fact, the Palestinians and was sending word over here on how to deal with, the gases and things that they throw. But we got to be really serious and stuff, you know, and look at them weapons and seriously make these people come to the table. We have got to say something about what is going on in our community and how it affects, because those people that was tear gassed, shot at with them rubber bullets and stuff, and, we got to demand a halt. And certain things these monsters cannot have, because it's shown very clearly they don't know what to do with it. And because they knew what to do with it, they go to the White House first.
All right. Let's do this, because we don't want to run out of time. We probably will run a little over tonight, family, so we're going to lose the live stream in about, 7 minutes or so. But in the meantime, we are streaming live through the Internet. You'll be able to hear us on your podcast, meaning on your telephone, if you just dial 646-652-2232. We will continue the dialogue. We're going to go to our live line again, and we're going to bring in Brother Mike. Brother Mike Graves, of course, represents not only the United African Movement, but also, of course, the 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement. Brother Mike, we're back to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's just remember that when the military upgraded, not archaic equipment, but when they just upgraded what equipment they had in 2006, they just gave various equipment to police departments all over the country. It was 435 armed vehicles, 533 military aircraft, 94,000 assault rifle machine guns, 432 mine-resistant armored trucks. I saw some of this equipment in Ferguson. I pointed out that I saw a mine-resistant airbrush protected truck there in MRAP, and I saw the LRAD, which was scary. You know, that's the sound cannon. It's a long-range acoustic device that can literally destroy and create permanent hearing loss, or it can just outright bust your eardrums. So they had that. And so just a few things. And obviously, you know, the tear gas and things like that. So what you can do is wet a towel, wet a rag, and put it over your nose and mouth. That will help you out. You need some goggles. Get you some firm-fitting goggles that won't move. If it moves up and down, it's no good, because some of the chemical agents can still get through and burn your eyes, because you're going to need your vision, and you're going to have to keep your eyes open even in that smoke and fog. So you need some firm goggles that, and you can really get them fitted for your head, and maybe your hairstyle might disrupt that, so you really got to get the proper fit and make it tight. You know it is tight when you're sweating on the inside, but you have to get it right, and the towel will be even more effective, truthfully, if you put urine in it, as opposed to just water. If you put some urine in it, it can catch those chemicals a little bit better. Now, as far as rubber bullets, they can really hurt, and it can be dangerous. It's considered a non-lethal weapon, but it still can be dangerous if it hits you in some soft tissue areas like your temple and things like that. It can discombobulate you or worse, and it'll just bruise you in your torso, because police officers are trained to shoot center mass, so they're going to hit the large part of your body, but since they got snipers can hit you right in the head with it. So for that, in terms of torso, the more layers you have, the better. Like if you had a bomber jacket, I know it's summertime, but if you have on some thick layers, it can help reduce the bruises from rubber bullets. Now, if they go to live rounds, then you have to be cognizant of defensive positioning. You have to measure the terrain. If you're around trees, find a tree to get behind. If you're around cars, because cars are always around while you're walking in the streets, get behind the front of the car, not the rear of the car. The rear of the car, they're shooting high power weapons or even some sidearms. It'll go right through the rear of the car, but the front of the car has an engine block, and a heavy transmission. So if you get behind the front of a car, it can stop most weapons. But if you're in the rear of the car, you can get hit. It can go right through and still hit you. So just keep that in mind. So there's a lot of little things that you can do. And I don't want to talk about offensive things over the air, but these are some defensive things you can do. And in New York and most states, literally any state, it is legal to wear a bulletproof vest, as long as you're not in the commission of a crime. So you can wear it. I mean, you'll always be discouraged by local, or they'll ask you why you're wearing it, but legally you can wear it as long as you're not committing a crime. If you commit a crime with a bulletproof vest on, then obviously the penalty will be multiplied. But in terms of just wearing it, you can wear it, So you can do that. Now, there are a lot of things. One thing Sister Pam mentioned is that they're confiscating money that's found. They use things like the RICO Act, and they feel that whatever you've accumulated, whether it's houses, businesses, if they can connect that to drugs, which they'll try to do, they'll take those. Now, do they do that to white mafia chieftains and all that? No. But they do that to blacks. Pam is absolutely correct, that they do take it if they perceive you to be a drug dealer. And for the most part, especially with the FBI component of major police departments, they know who all the drug dealers are. And because every time you're talking on your phone, that phone is not your phone. It's white people's phone, because that phone, when you think you're talking directly to a person, is going to a satellite, and then it's bouncing out that satellite to the person. So in between that, they can intercept the calls. They create a web, so they know all the people you speak to, and all the people you speak to, they know all the people they speak to. That's called a web. So they have that web, so they kind of like know who's doing what kind of business anyway. So I'm saying all this to say that they do confiscate these the money. If you have money, if you have businesses, anything that they can get their hands on, they can do that, and they'll take it under RICO and other statutes, where they don't do that to the crime lords that are on Wall Street. They don't do that to mafia chieftains. They don't do that to these corrupt guys in business. So so that's all true. But I would just say that in terms of trying to have a meeting to talk to them about these toys they have, you can forget about that. Every major police force has these weapons and more. If Ferguson, a place that has less than 25,000 people, if they have that, Can you imagine what's in New York and L.A.? I mean, you have to remember Bull Connor 50, 60 years ago had a tank. You know, that he used to parade through Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wore he drove a white tank through the town. So, right. I mean, you know, 60 years, things have been upgraded since the 50s during the time of the Montgomery Improvement Association. You know, things have been upgraded a thousandfold. So when Pam said, do they have things that can message your insides? Of course they do. I mean, they got face recognition devices that can find your face in a football stadium. So, this high-tech stuff that they developed to go to the moon and all these places is being used right here on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying be on your A game with all you do, whatever you out here doing, you know, be on point and understand that, you know, even Arabs and K's know to stay off the phone. I mean, come on. So,
exactly.
So I mean, they know that here, and we living in a highly technical environment, and we don't know to stay off the phone. So I think we just need to know that. And so all the things you're doing is well and good. I've never seen the spirit that's been demonstrated in Ferguson anywhere. I mean, the kudos that you have to give to those brothers and sisters in Ferguson, when you see black women, when they throwing canisters of tear gas on black women, and the black women ain't moving. They standing there knowing that it's gonna hit them. I mean, it was a crime before humanity for them to take a canister and hit an 8-year-old with it. But the people didn't run far. They just tried to get air, and they didn't leave. And I saw that time and time again, these profiles and courage of the people in Ferguson. Yes, they need some training. They need some advice on some things. But the spirit is undeniable. It's nothing like it. I wish we had that in New York, because we got a video of what happened to Gon in New York. They don't have a video. They just got eyewitness accounts, and they moved with the eyewitnesses, because historically one white man can say something and get deference over 10 black men saying another story. So I have to give major kudos for the community to rally around what happened to Mike Brown on the word of witnesses. And, of course, the white arrogance, just the arrogance of white supremacy, allowed Mike Brown to lay there for 4 hours.
That's
like in your face. When you have somebody laying there, like, you know, like a piece of meat, they wouldn't let a dog lay there for 4 hours. I mean, you know, PETA and human rights organizations would be on them if you treated a dog like that, or a lion or tiger or cow. So the arrogance is there. So I would just advise and at the same time give major kudos, because I've never seen that kind of spirit. And it's not only young people there, it's people that's not so young that are fed up, and it's no getting around. 6 city council people, 1 black, 5 whites. There's no getting around a police department that's only 5% African-American.
And now, listen, I need to interrupt for one moment, because we need to remind everybody. You need to call in at 646-652-2232. We're going to lose our internet stream in about 1 minute. Again, 646-652-2232. You'll be able to still hear the podcast. Before we go back to Brother Mike and Brother Kalaji and, of course, Sister Pam, we want to also kind of move on to another area of this, and that is with the so-called leaders, so-called civil rights leaders and others. Brother Kalaji has shared something with me earlier today in regard to, you know, how some of these people are being exposed. And, of course, we've talked about it for, you know, during the whole 10 days or so. We want to share this with you, and then we're going to go to Brother Kalaji, Sister Pam, and Brother Mike. Check this out.
Are you here to get us? Yeah. We have to see you, Marcelo. We have to see you.
Hey,
are you going to here to bond those brothers that get locked up. You've been with the Brown family all day. What about the brother that's in the Ed Gorda murder? Are you going to post this bond?
Just watch it, ain't whatever, they just don't send the cops.
Because we haven't seen you marching at all, Jesse. We ain't seen you.
Oops, hold on a moment. I think we may have lost our streaming again. At any rate, you all kind of got the gist of what just happened. And so what we want to do is go back to Brother Kalanji. What is your take on what you just heard, Brother?
I could hardly hear what was going on, so I really can't, you know.
Oh,
I really
okay.
Hear.
Okay. Well, at any rate, tell us about what you kind of experienced with dealing with some of the so-called leaders there in Ferguson.
Okay. Kalanji the bad guy, take two. basically, it's what we continuously experience, and we act like we don't see it. You know, it's like, to be honest with you, right now, I'm going to keep it funky with you, and I'm going to say that, you know, a lot of times we talk about people like Al the Rat Sharpton, and we talk about, you know, Crump the Chump, the attorney, and we talk about, you know, what's this other fool name, the dishonorable Jesse Jackson and folks like that. And it's honestly, it's coming like, you know, okay, well, you know, these characters are,
go ahead.
These characters are consistent with their criminal acts and their ancestors. But who is some exception? And I would be if I don't miss folks like Malik Zulu Shabazz. You know what I'm saying? Who behind closed doors, for the most part, folks always have a problem with this clown's activities. You know what I mean? So
wow.
I'm saying that because of the fact that when I was out in Ferguson, I witnessed Party doing being crossing guards, de facto crossing guards, you know, trying to tell people which way to go in the street. I witnessed Ron Johnson, the captain, that the Negro face in high places that they brought to try to quell the situation. I witnessed him say to Malik Zulu Shabazz, "You're doing a good job, keep up the good work." You know what I'm saying? It's so wild. Keeping people in check, you know. I was telling you earlier, there was a point, I think I told you earlier, there was a point when we were in the middle of the street in Ferguson, and when the Black Party tried to get us out of the street. I was talking to some young bloods, and they tried to get us out of the street. And I looked at them in the face, and I kind of just turned away like, whatever. At that point,
you're starting to break up a little bit, brother.
Yeah, someone's phone is making noise. I don't know who that is, but there was a point where we were in the street, and one of the new Black Panther Party members told us, quote unquote, we had to get out of the street. So I looked him in his face, and I turned my head and continued to talk to who I was talking to because of the fact mm-hmm. that I know that these Keystone cops have no authority, especially over Noble and I know, okay? So I turned around, and he taps a cop, a police officer, down in Ferguson, and he says to him, officer, can you help us get them out the street? And I looked the cop in his face, the cop looked me in my face, and he turns around to dude and says, no, I can't. So at that point, dude turns around and says, F it then. I find that ironic that our good young brother, Mike Brown, was gunned down in the street, allegedly for walking in the street and not getting out the street by a police officer. The fact that you would call yourself an activist or a freedom fighter and you would ask the police to get a fellow activist out of the street, it's beyond me.
Wow.
We have a problem there. We have a problem there. But I saw this character, and that wasn't him. That wasn't, for the record, that wasn't Malik the Tap. That was one of his cronies. But Malik Zulu Shabazz himself I saw him marching the people up and down the street like it was some type of circus 12 times, you know, back and forth up and down the street. I saw him telling the reporters to turn the lights off and turn the camera off after the police told him to do it. Whatever the police said do, that's what he said do. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and to be honest with you, it's no secret. He knows that, you know, I'm no fan of his and he's no fan of mine. But at the same time, it's like, even for him, I gave him more credit than he deserves. The fact that you would blatantly, openly work with the police and then on your Facebook page make it look like you was confrontational against them, it's a serious contradiction. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm saying we as activists, as freedom fighters, as organizers, we cannot play a liberal role. We can't walk around just, we can't, it's like a lot of folks, you know, you notice a lot of folks online, they'll bang on a Christian or they'll bang on Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson. We can't just tap these softball suckers. We got to hit whoever is out there disrespecting our people because of the fact that it's ancestral treason and we are in a position that we have to fight for our ancestors' legacy. We got to fight for the legacy of our political prisoners, so on and so forth, and not just on no abstract bullshit. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times it's easy for us to attack the weak part of it. If you're going to get in it to win it. You know what I mean? So, really, I'm sick of it. To be honest with you, even with the whole boycott situation, I respect the fact that we're talking about boycotting, but the only thing that we really boycott is black stores, black businesses. You know what I mean? All we have to do is not shop. Just don't shop with these folks, period, and we don't have to worry about boycotting them. The fact that it's 2014 and the only solutions we have is let's boycott and let's march, you know, we're some strange kind of people at this stage in the game. You know? So with a lot of these so-called Negro leaders, I'm calling on a national boycott of Negro leaders. I'm calling on a national boycott of anybody that doesn't have a plan of action. If you don't have solutions for our people, then shut up, period. Now, that might sound harsh. That might sound like, well, I have an opinion and I got the right to state my opinion. If you're not willing to have solutions and actually fight against those who you say are your enemy, then it's like a waste of time. It's like having panels and unnecessary lectures and talks, but nothing comes out of it but to feel good. So at this stage in the game, we got to really start taking it to these folks. Anybody that is disrespecting our people, they are enemies for our people. We have to put them in check. If we don't put them in check, they are. That's our.
All right. All right, family, we have been talking with some powerful brothers and sisters who are certainly very much involved in the liberation of our people. And we all definitely appreciate all of you tuning in and continuing to support our program here. We just got finished talking with our brother Kalanji Changa, of course, from For the People, or as we say, whichever way you like to use the FTP acronym. We also have been talking with, of course, Brother Mike Graves and, of course, Sister Pam Africa. We had early on Dr. Randy Short and Brother Ya and the committee woman Patricia Bates from the Ferguson area. We are going to get ready to close this segment out. Before we do, I'm going to see if I can bring Brother Ya in very quickly and also check with Sister Hattie. She raised a question or a couple of questions. I want to make sure that Brother Mike did address some of what Sister Hattie was asking. So I'm going to bring Sister Hattie in for a quick minute. And again, just to make sure that she did get her questions answered. Let's see. We got you right here, I believe, Sister Hattie. Did Brother Mike kind of give you the information you needed?
Yes, he did. Very good. Those are some really good tips. They're great. And I thank him for them.
I forgot the earplugs. I forgot you got to have earplugs.
Well, this is what I'm wondering, and the final question.
I forgot to mention the earplugs. You need those.
We did get those. We got that. But I'm saying, which ones are the best, the quality of the gas mask, the bulletproof vest, and those kinds of things, what would be the, you know, kind of the specs on them? And so that we can send things that's going to be very helpful, because I think we've got to start doing it.
All right, just make sure when you buy a bulletproof vest, see just how ballistic it is and what level of protection you have. Kevlar is real good, so you probably want Kevlar. And you want to look at the dates on it. If it's outdated, if the dates are bad, you don't want to use it. You want it to be up to date, and you want to see what it could stop. If it just says something like a 38, cops don't use 38s anymore. So you want something that could stop 9mm, 40s and 45s. So
okay,
you want 40 caliber and 45 caliber weapons. You know, you want it to stop that, because that's what killed Mike Brown. I was surprised, but I noticed that the cop, you know, they showed his gun on TV. That was a 40 caliber gun. That's why the rounds went through his body. So they only found about 3 rounds in his body, even though they said he was hit 6 times. By the way, they never told you how many times the cop shot. He might have shot as many as 10 times. But with respect to what you said about armaments, you need something that could probably, you know, and make sure that if you go to the uniform store to get it, make sure that it can stop 9mm that can wreck the inside of your body when it bounces off hard tissue. But you want it to also be able to stop a 40 caliber and perhaps even a 45 caliber, but at least make sure that it can stop a 40 caliber weapon, you know, at close range. And you should be okay with that. And probably go with earplugs, because you can't wear the kind of air protection equipment that's visible.
Excuse me, family.
Yes.
What are you talking about? I'm kind of confused. I'm a little off right now. But what was y'all speaking on? I must have missed something. I'm sorry.
She wanted to know what type of body armor would be good to wear.
Body
so
armor.
I was just giving her some tidbits on what type of body armor to wear.
You talking about on the streets, brother?
Yeah, well, I'm sure she's talking about the streets.
Okay.
Let me just give you a briefing. What happened last week when we had Brother Yah on and they were literally in the streets at that point, they were requesting supplies. And some of the supplies that they requested was, in fact, earplugs and other kinds of things. So the sister kind of began to do that. So what she's asking now are some specifics in terms of, are there some specific types or about better quality or this, that, and the other. So that's what Brother Mike is responding to.
You talking about the streets of Ferguson?
Yes.
I was in the streets of Ferguson, man. Nobody need no bulletproof vest and all that. I mean hold on. let's rewind the tape, y'all. Listen, this is what's going on. I don't know who was out there and all that type of stuff, but let me just tell you what I witnessed, right? First of all, Ferguson is about, the area where this thing is about a block and a half. The police are shooting rubber bullets and tear gas, right? Okay, during the daytime, there's no violence and none of that type of stuff. At night, the police are acting the fool, busting with these rubber bullets and all that type of stuff. I've been hearing all through Facebook, the Internet, so on and so forth, folks are talking like it's a war zone out there and like it's Iraq and all that type of stuff, and that's really not the case. It's not the case at all. I mean, we're talking about some big stuff. Honestly, in my opinion, the thing that we need to do as a people, first of all, is we need to do what El Hajj Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X said. Every man and woman, every brother and sister should learn a martial art, right? That's number one. The second thing is we got to be healthy, right? We got to get ourselves in order because of the fact that we always talk about this gun talk and all that type of stuff, and many of us aren't even training on a basic level. You can go into a situation and don't have any type of weapon if you're trained properly, right? I mean, folks are talking about Ferguson like it's just like, you know, the Battle of Algiers going on, man, and I'm lost because of the fact that maybe I was in a different part of Ferguson. But where
so,
we were at.
Brother,
Brother Kalani, let me ask, when did you return? Were you there when the National Guard came?
We have brothers and sisters out there right now. Right now. I personally wasn't out there, but we have brothers and sisters on the street right now. And we get daily, regular updates from them each time. So I know what's going on because of the fact that I'm talking to my comrades regularly. I came back because I had other work to do. I'm supposed to be going back out there, but it's not like the National Guard is opening fire with M16s and 38s and 45s and all that. That's not happening. That's not happening. They are shooting rubber bullets.
What we've gotten the reports on from, and hopefully we'll get Brother Yah back on because he is there, had been there every day. He lives there and was one of the organizers for the rally that occurred the night that supposedly the National Guard did gas them and shoot bullets, rubber bullets at them. And that was only one time that he reported that that happened. And at that point, he was literally on those streets at that time.
I understand that. My brothers and sisters are out there right now. We have folks that live in St. Louis, in South St. Louis, in East St. Louis. We got folks that live in the city of Ferguson. We got folks that live in University City, which is right down the block from there. So I'm clear about what's going on. We talk to them regularly. The thing is, how many casualties have you seen? If they was actually shooting actual live rounds, then you would have more casualties.
No. Yeah, no. He's not saying that they were shooting live rounds. That's not what they're saying. What they're talking about is how to protect themselves better from the gas, and apparently there were gas canisters sent or placed out there, and it did affect the women, children, and men. Thing that was reported is that there was these rubber bullets and they did have some kind of effect. So essentially what was being asked was, because they were having peaceful protests, this is what was reported, they were having peaceful protests, but still they were being responded to by the police and at some point the National Guard, and with the gas and with these bullets. Or canisters.
Right, but you don't need a Kevlar vest for rubber bullets. I've been hit with rubber bullets. I'm saying, like, if you're dealing
with
gas,
brother, hold on, brother. This is not limited to Ferguson. This is for anywhere. Ferguson is lightweight in comparison to what could happen in Chicago, New York,
yeah.
L.A., Philadelphia.
Right.
That's just 25,000. So I'm just saying that if the brother who's on the ground right there ask me certain fundamental questions about things that are in your house that you could use that could help in a given situation, I'm only giving them that. We're not devising an all-out battle plan for Ferguson. This is just some basic thing. There are basic things in your house that can be used depending on what's going on at the drop of a hat. So it's not limited to Ferguson at all.
Okay.
I was just telling him some basic things.
My apologies, brother. I thought you were talking about Kevlar vests and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's not a household
item. I mentioned it because that's one of the things that the sister asked. What type of vest would you buy for certain armaments? And I said, make sure it's of a ballistic nature that can stop X, Y, and Z. If you're going to buy it, don't buy something that's stopping weapons from 20 years ago. You have to buy something that's upgraded to stop the weapons of today. That's all.
Right. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to discount what you're saying and none of that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to disrespect anything you're saying because of the fact that indeed what you're saying is correct depending on the particular terrain, so on and so forth. I'm also saying that one thing that we're doing, we're quick to want to depend on things that we may not have. And we're talking about survival and things of that nature. You know, we have to be able to deal with what it is we have. So the thing is, if all I have is hand-to-hand and I need to lift something or whatever, I should be trained for that particular purpose, correct? I'm not discounting what you're saying. What you're saying is accurate. But what I'm saying is for the people as well, we got to
Well, I'm not discounting training. I train too, brother, and I carry a weapon, and I train.
Brother, but I'm not saying that.
Okay, let's do this. I think we have Brother Yah back with us. Brother Yah, your mic is open. You have some questions, comments? Brother Yah? Okay. I'm not sure
My apologies, family. I kind of, I'm kind of, my apologies to all y'all because of the fact that I'm kind of, at this stage in the game, I've been talking to a lot of folks, and it's like, you didn't say anything that I'm thinking of. It's just I've done like 15, 16 different radio interviews and so on and so forth over the past week, and I had so many people that are just talking like it's just like this is Armageddon and all that type stuff, and I know you didn't say that, but it's like the whole straw that broke the camel's back. So I apologize to you on air, brother. And the thing is,
no apologies needed. It's okay.
Right.
I was just saying that even for something, I told them that even for a rubber bullet can bruise you.
Right.
It's a non-lethal weapon. So I just said if the more layers you have, I said I know it's the summertime, but if you have a bomber jacket on, you could take a rubber bullet.
Right. Right.
But in summertime.
Right. Let's definitely organize on all levels, brothers and sisters, man, because of the fact that the bottom line is they are out to pardon my English, they are out to fuck us up. And we are we are sitting here and we are accepting it and we've been accepting it. And I don't want in my emotions and I'm sitting here and it was just pointed out to me that I was kind of dealing off emotions. So that's why I'm apologizing. Because of the fact that the thing is, we all recognize that we're in dire straits and we're sick and tired. As Fannie Lou Hamer said, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. So the thing is, we have to organize as hardcore as possible and do what it is we got to take. So, again, I apologize because I did jump off because I'm sitting here. I'm like, man, I've been hearing and seeing so much stuff that it's like, look, let's get ourselves together. You know what I'm saying? So. That's what that is. I appreciate you all, for the work that you all are doing in your perspective areas.
All right. Well, give thanks, my brother, and we appreciate you. Family, we're going to close this segment out. We were trying to bring Brother Yah back in for some reason.
Yes. Peace.
Oh, okay.
Peace.
We got you back. Okay.
My bad, family. I had muted myself. I was speaking to my mentor about some things that I forgot to unmute it when she opened up my line. But anyway, family, I just want to say, look, I'm humble always, and I appreciate the opportunity to have everybody's questions, comments, concerns. Hopefully we was able to answer the questions and stuff and clarify anything that needs to be clarified. But again, our position is either you with us or you not, period. If you're not with us, it's okay. We're going to do what we got to do. If you're with us, great. We're going to still do what we got to do. So, that's our thing, man. We've been doing this for a while. And, as far as the boycott piece, yeah, we done did it before, but not on this type of magnitude here. So we just saying, like, look, it's got to be done. We're not going to just stand around and wait for, let's hold back for about 7 more days and let's push this agenda. The time is now. The time is now. Martin Luther King Jr., may rest in peace back then, so he didn't say, well, let's wait 7 more days and let's just see if they're going to lynch 2,000 more people. No, they say, no, the time is now. What time is it? Nation time. I got a young old spirit about myself, family. So, those that are going to be for us going to be for us. Those who are going to be against us going to be against us no matter what. So, we just got to keep forward with the cause because, the cause is what's motivating us. So however many supporters we got worldwide, we thank you. However many supporters we don't have, we thank you because we don't need you. You know what I mean? So that's it. That's all I'm saying. I'm just humbled, sister, for having this opportunity for you creating this platform for a brother like myself. It was nobody just to be able to speak to the family who's somebody. You know what I mean? So that's it, really. I don't really have much to say. I mean, I've been protesting and all this for a while. I mean, I spent my birthday protesting. I was out on the battlefield. So, hey, you know, I don't know
what
else to
say. All right, my brother. Well, I'm going to put you in touch with Sister Hattie so the two of you can work out the further details on, you know, the supplies that she's talking about preparing for you. So I'll make sure that you two are able to connect tomorrow. Before we close up, I'm going to give each of you a minute. We only have that much time, a minute, to provide your closing comments. Since we have you, Brother Yah, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to Sister Pam, Brother Kalanji, and then Brother Mike. And then we're going to close out for this evening. This has been another powerful dialogue. We want to remind everyone again that on Monday here in Philadelphia, we will have our Rally for Justice starting at 5 p.m. at Love Park, which is located at 15th and JFK. We want to do whatever it is possible to make certain that the officer is arrested immediately. That's one of the demands that the family has put forward, in addition to the appointment of a special prosecutor. Again, many of us do not have any faith in any of these things happening. Certainly the officer definitely needs to be arrested. That's without a shadow of a doubt, and should ASAP. But again, we want to do what it is that the family is asking to have done. And so with that said, there is a request being put forward for the prosecutor, special prosecutor as well. So we'll keep you posted on all of that. I'm sure there's going to be more information that will come forward after the funeral on Monday. We will try to bring you some live segments of that as well. But in the meantime, I'm going to go back to Brother Yah and your closing comments for the night, my brother.
Yeah, peace and blessings, everyone. Be safe and keep your head up. Just a friendly reminder, special announcement for those that are checking in. Again, you can find us on Facebook. It's Human Rights JST. We're just creating another page right now, more so a friend page. So, you know, we'll have all that information on it, but check us out at Human Rights JC. Just another reminder that the family is requesting, since Mike Brown will be, the funeral process will transpire on a Dr. Martin Luther King Drive. We're requesting that everybody in every state also do a protest and begin their peace on Dr. Martin Luther King Drive in solidarity of the Brown family. And again, we're requesting everybody who has ears to boycott on Monday morning, and the boycott will continue up until we receive human rights and justice for Mike Brown. With that, I yield my mic. Peace. Blessings.
Thank you, my brother. And again, be safe there, okay? All right. Let's go to Sister Pam. Are you still with us, Sister Pam?
Sure am.
All right.
What I want to say, when I was talking about having a meeting dealing with the stuff up in that was shown in the war stuff, what I want to do is have a meeting now, and you can be, you know, helpful in that. And that is what Brother Mike was saying, what Brother Kalanji was saying, because a lot of people don't know. And when you least expect it, they're going to be throwing tear gas through your door, because no one in Ferguson thought that would happen. But because of that example, and all, you know, it shows that people are not prepared. And this is my two brothers for what we need to do in our communities. And all, you know, and I think that should go all across this country. And,
okay,
and
is that noise coming from your end? There's a lot of...
No, it's not coming from here.
Okay.
I've been hearing it throughout. Yeah, my phone was laid down. And,
okay.
You know, that's all I have to say. And please, if anybody is in the Raleigh, the Durham area in North Carolina, and I'll come out and see the Fergusons, or, you know, contact people, you know, in that you know is in that area. and, you know, let them know that, you know, we did had not had time to plan it for a week or two. We had 48 hours, and in 48
all
hours,
right,
we're going to do it.
Absolutely. Brother Kalonji.
Yes. First and foremost, I would like to say, you know, continue to organize, continue to strategize, continue to study. I agree with what Sister Pam, Brother Mike, and everybody else was saying. You know, we have to be prepared. We're dealing with, you know, it's real time. And I think that oftentimes we kind of get so used to certain things going on that we kind of look at it almost like we don't really believe it. Because if we really believed it, then we'd already be prepared. That's how I feel. But check us out. Also, we have a radio show on Blog Talk on Wednesday nights from 9 to 11. It's blogtalkradio.com/mindsmatter. That's M-A-Z, matter, M-A-T-T-E-R, blogtalkradio.com/mindsmatter. You can check out our podcast at politicallyincorrect.podomatic.com. politicallyincorrect.podomatic.com, or check us out on iTunes, Constant Classified. Appreciate the work, Sister Filet, and, you know, Sister Pam, Brother Mike, the councilwoman that I heard on Hannity's show earlier. Appreciate all the work you're doing in your areas, and, you know, in the mortal words of Tamara Fred, dare to struggle, dare to win. If you don't dare to struggle, then goddamn it, you dare to win.
All right, all right. Good thanks, my brother. All right, back to you, Brother Mike. Your closing comments for tonight.
Yeah, I thank all those who preceded me with the kind words, and I salute their spirit to struggle. Again, I've never seen struggle like what I've seen in Ferguson. They are a beacon of light. It is refreshing to see what these young people, and some not so young, what they're doing now. They might not be conscious, but they know wrong when they see it, and they're standing against oppression in their own particular way, and we have to support the way they're doing it. And and at the same time, I support, you know, Sister Pam that's all over the place, that she would, you know, with the Mumia did here, move here, and support, come up and support UAM. And so I commend all of that, because we need all hands on deck. We are facing an implacable foe whose machinations and tentacles are all over the place. And we just saw a dry run, just a mild blueprint of what could potentially happen in any particular locale. So I salute you, Sister Empress, for this forum, because we can exchange ideas and we can uplift our people by giving them critical information. And I appreciate even the person who raised questions as to how they can best support Ferguson with sending them needed materials. So I think when all is said and done, we are made better by these exchanges. So the brother didn't have to apologize, because his spirit is in the right place, so it's
absolutely
fine. And so I think that all of us have to be stronger, and whatever we've done, we got to get better. You know, I know that 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement will care. I know the standoffs we've had with law enforcement right here, most of it not in front of a camera. We know what we do, and we salute the way they're doing it in Ferguson, and we have more to do. Whatever we've done to this point was in the past, and we got to do more in the future, because we have to protect our future, because Mike Brown represented a significant part of our future, and he's no longer with us. So we have to protect the rest of our future and at the same time be an example for all those to come in the future. So I thank you, Sister Empress, for this forum, and thank everybody. And this free flow of, you know, ideas have made all of us better.
All right. Well, indeed, my brothers and sisters, it's been a pleasure as usual. We do what we're supposed to do, what our ancestors have instilled in us to do. And with the Creator's guidance, we try to do the best that we can. Not try, we do the best we can. And we're going to keep doing the best and getting better. We want to thank all of you again for, you know, joining us this evening, as well as you have been doing for actually this past 10 days when we've been doing some special editions. Want to remind you again, we'll be doing some more special editions this upcoming week. As a matter of fact, on Monday, we may be doing a special edition because we just recently learned, Sister Pam brought to my attention, I believe on Tuesday or Wednesday, there is a sister here in Philadelphia whose son was also murdered this past week by police officers. She will be coming on our program next week so that you can hear about that as well. As you will know, this is not just a situation in Ferguson. It's not the same type of situation where it's just so obvious and so cold-blooded. But nevertheless, young black men and women are being murdered by police. Let us not forget Rekia Boyd. We never, ever really hear anything about Rekia Boyd, who was shot by a white police officer in Chicago 2 years ago, 22 years old, shot in the head. That's a whole other discussion we need to have there's somewhat of an imbalance when it comes to our people responding to the murders of our women and girls. I won't go there with that with y'all tonight, but it's real. There was an elder, of course, in Atlanta who the cops killed. So, again, we don't
shot
see that same
times.
Kind of, yes, we don't see that same kind of uproar in our communities. We've got to raise an issue and a question about that, but not tonight. In the very near future, though, at any rate, again, thank all of you. Going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, there can be no real Hotep, meaning peace, until there's truly Ma'at, meaning justice. As we often hear our family say, no justice, no peace, no justice, no peace. We will have peace. That means we got to have some justice. Until next time, family, we thank you all again. And we will be coming back at you very, very soon with some special editions for next week. We'll keep you posted. Again, tomorrow, please, if you're in that area of North Carolina, pay tribute to our elders, Baba Herman Ferguson and Sister Mother Alula Ferguson. Till next time, peace out. This is Empress Chi, also known as Sister Filet Chionesu, and you have been listening to one of the official Million Women March Universal Movements broadcast. We thank you all. Promote you to the Shinda. Together we shall win. Tutanana.